I met my best friend Anne in 1985.
And the Babysitter's Club kept her friendship alive.
Then Emily was born in 1988, and she said,
"Thanks, Aunt Esme, these books are great.
Now we're all grown up and we're living our dreams
as a writer
and a scholar
and an expert on teens.
And we're gonna start again from the very first book
because we're stuck
in Stony Brook."
Welcome to Stuck in Stony Brook, a podcast about the Babysitter's Club. Today we're discussing the August 1995 theatrical release, The Babysitter's Club.
Da, da, da.
The film, as Anne so aptly put
it. The film. The piece
of
cinema.
Not a movie, it's a film.
The film. Piece of cinema. I only have one thing to say about this movie, which is,
oh,
ho na 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 hey. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. What is that song?
I don't know.
So weird.
Yeah. So it's been almost 30 years since this movie came out. This summer is the 30th anniversary. We're, you know, we're in the middle of summer, and this is where we actually are in the book release order. So this comes out right after book 87. So we figured it's time to finally talk about it. People have been asking us to talk about this since we started the podcast.
I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cute.
I liked it better than I did when I was 17.
Yeah.
I remember Anne and I went and saw it in the theater, and we were so mad.
Why? It's exactly like a Babysitter's Club book.
It's much worse.
I don't know. I think it's the same.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. I think the problem was we were just 17.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably.
Do you remember being super mad, Anne?
No, this is where Esme has my memories.
Hang on to them for you, babe. Yeah. Like, we knew we were too old, but we, of course, wanted to see it. And we were just like, that's not right. That doesn't look right. This person's not acting correctly. Like,
I can't believe how many famouses there are in it. My memory was super weird because I don't remember, like, I don't have accessible knowledge of it. But the second it came on, I was like, oh, I know every song cue. I know every line. I must have watched it a lot. But I don't remember loving it. You know what I mean? I just remember watching it.
So you have no biographical, it sounds like you don't remember watching it. You just remember it.
I remember.
You have it memorized.
Yeah. I have it memorized, but I don't remember
the experience of watching it.
I don't remember it being a part of any significant part of my life whatsoever, but I remember the whole film. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, do you guys have your one sentence summaries ready to go?
Yeah, I did one.
Okay. What's yours, Emily?
I went with, the BSC flakes on a clubhouse after an angsty summer.
Nice. Mm-hmm. How about you, Anne?
The cast is now in perimenopause.
Oh, amazing.
Very accurate. Very accurate. I said,
I really liked that.
Yeah. People who didn't read the BSC made a movie about the BSC. That's what
I don't know. I think read it.
Well, no. Melanie Mayron, the director, famously said, "I didn't want to read a single book. I was creating my own girl fantasy summer." And she willfully ignorant. Yeah. I think the girls had read it.
Yeah.
And I think some people associated with it had read it for sure. But
like, for sure.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, I feel like it was a good cast.
Yeah. Yeah, it was much better than I remember. And it was certainly much better than the HBO 1990 series.
Yeah.
Like, they actually looked like them. They actually sort of acted like them.
I thought Rachel Lee Cook was really good as Marianne.
She was great. Yeah. She was great.
And that was her first role.
I know. I was telling Emily this before you got on that I watched it with June, my younger daughter, and my kids and my whole family are obsessed with Josie and the Pussycats, but June couldn't place her for like an hour. She knew that she knew who she was, but couldn't figure out that it was Josie. And
it's so good.
And it was really funny. Yeah.
Yes.
When she figured it out, was she like, oh, I'm an idiot?
Yeah. Well, actually, she never did figure it out. And she made me tell her. But then the next scene was with Marianne and Logan talking about Cokie by the truck. And she's like, I should have waited for this scene because this is basically the same as
by the truck
for granted. It's like the same as Josie talking to Alan M, but it's Marianne and Logan. She's like, I would have gotten it if I waited 5 more minutes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's funny. Okay. Well, should we, you know, do our thing?
Do our shtick?
Where we tell you about the members of the podcast. I'm Anna Chikala. Why is that a wow? Okay. I just woke up.
Okay. There, that's
all. I'm drinking my coffee.
I just wanted to make sure that was all it was. You sounded like,
I feel like there should be a new game where our listeners guess whether we're recording in the morning or or at night. By the way,
that's a hard game. For the record, listeners, Anne chose this recording time.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Go ahead.
I've been tired this week. I've been sleeping too much. Okay. Wait, you guys, we should probably back up and tell you about the members of the podcast. I'm Anna Chikala, a freelance writer. I'm a mischievous pragmatist with a sweet tooth.
Wow, that was excellent.
Was that,
I'm as
like,
Schaller,
more cheerful?
An adolescent psychologist. I'm kind of bossy, but I have a big heart.
And I'm Emily Crandall, a feminist scholar. I'm a total individual and I like health food. If you want to learn more about us and how we know each other, check out our prologue episode. Also, rate and review us. It really helps people find the podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or commentary about anything BSC related, drop us a line at stuckinstonybrook@gmail.com. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/stuckinstonybrook.
Yes. And if you're excited about this episode, I think we will probably cover the novelization of the movie on the Patreon, but it's written by A.L. Singer, which is an anagram of Laryngeus. It's Peter Laryngeus's pen name. And he wrote many movie novelizations. My guess is it's going to be better than the movie because we like Laryngeus' book. Just saying.
Esme hates this movie.
I know.
I don't love it.
I loved it. I think it's my favorite movie.
I'm curious as to why you don't like it.
I still cried. I still enjoyed it. It's very sad when Christie's at the amusement park. Anyway, do you think anybody's listening to this that hasn't seen this movie? Do we need to do a recap?
We
have to do a recap.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And tell us about it.
You just don't want to recap it because you hate it so much?
No, I don't hate it that much. Now we're exaggerating.
Okay, so the recap is much like a book where it's summer vacation and they give themselves work to do by creating a summer camp for all the kids in Stony Brook. So that's that's like the plot that kind of stretches out over. But then the real plot is Christie's dad comes back and just is there in his BW little minivan that he drove from apparently California. It makes no sense. And apparently he's like a sportscaster or journalist. And there was a lead for a job. Was it as a sportscaster on the news? That was it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I might be moving back, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, but he tells Kristen not to tell anyone that he's there. So they just kind of meet in secret. And then
there's so many layers of shadiness to Patrick Thomas in this. We'll get into it in my corner. But yeah.
Yeah. And then Christy tells Marianne about her dad, but no one else. And then
Marianne struggles with having a secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Don gets pissed off at Marianne for keeping a secret because they know something's going on with Christie, which I think is kind of lame with the BSC. Mm-hmm. Like, not everyone needs to know everyone's business.
Right, but that also felt so true to the books to me when they all, get pissy in a dumb way over nothing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, and it also, I think, highlighted how much everyone relies on Christie. Not just in the BSC, right? So she forgets to pick up David Michael at one point and Watson and Elizabeth are upset at her. She had agreed to, the other big plot is that Claudia failed science.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't get at least a C+ in summer school. She has to quit the BSC. And Christy aced science. So Christy has said she's going to help her study and prepare. And Christy's like absent because she's hanging out with her dad. So she's not there for the camp as much
until
as she's
the climax of the film.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's not there for
until Christy writes an educational rap.
Yeah.
Do you think that what's his name, Lin-Manuel Miranda, watched this movie as a kid?
Yeah, this is his inspiration.
Yes. I think this is canon. I think this was what Lin-Manuel, this is what brought Lin-Manuel to musical theater and educational.
This is when Claudia is taking her test. She's like, oh, I don't know any of these answers. And then she sees like people like tapping their pencils on their desk. And then she's like, oh, the rhythm. Yes. And then the brain.
I like when it fades into a whisper and it's like really creepy. Yeah.
I remember seeing that part in the theater with you, Anne, and us both like spitting out our lemonade or your Diet Coke, whatever we were drinking. Like we were laughing so hard.
Guys, I think this is maybe the most faithful adaptation of a book I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it is like very, I feel like it is pretty accurate.
It is very accurate. I'm not going to disagree that it's accurate. It's much better than I remembered. I'll give you that. I do think it was our jaded, cynical 17-year-old selves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other plot point is that the Marianne and Dawn's next door neighbor is like a crotchety old lady gardening and is like pissed about the summer camp. And then they want to turn this like abandoned greenhouse into a clubhouse. And she ends up supporting their efforts with what's the committee of the city called?
I think it's like the Civic Pride Committee.
Yeah. And well, they're like, no. She's going to thwart us in our efforts. And she's like, these young girls aren't a real business. Let's just give them their clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, also, Stacy has a 17-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Luca. Where is Luca from?
We never.
Do they ever say?
No, Europe.
Just Europe.
But the actor is German, and he does have like a vaguely German and or Scandinavian accent.
Yeah.
I was going to say maybe he's German because he wants to go for a hike. And I associate that.
That's hilarious.
Super German. Yeah.
If you're German.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah, that was really good. And I think that's kind of everything that's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Christy's dad flakes. He moves away.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like at the abandoned amusement park in the rain on the night of her birthday. And she's supposed to, the BSE has planned this amazing like night away at like Mallory's aunt's cabin.
Yeah. And even though they're all mad at her.
Yeah. But well, because they trust Marianne because they're like, I don't know if Christy deserves this. And Marianne's like, she does, you guys. And then they have to get Luca to come drive them to find her because she gets cut off from the payphone. I do love all the pre-internet stuff. And then she comes clean to her family. But the like happy thing is that her dad writes her letters now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cokie is also trying to thwart them.
Oh, yeah. Cokie's so good in this. I love that actor.
Oh, yeah.
Marla Sokolov. She's great.
Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah. I like her in the movie because she's like funnier and like has more personality than in the books.
Yeah.
And I like her like little flackies.
Yeah.
I'm assuming one of those is great.
Cokie was good.
The other one.
I have such a vivid memory of the scene where she falls in the dumpster.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to watch this movie a lot. I should have bought it instead of renting it.
Same. I rented it too.
Yeah. Regret.
Regret.
I should have. So.
Spent $8 more and kept it forever.
Yeah. So we have like a movie collection of movies where we're like, oh, should we rent this or should we buy it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we have like Step Brothers and what's the other
excuse
movie
me, why would you rent that and not buy it? Step Brothers is amazing.
Okay, yeah, okay. No, we have it. But it was like it's like this collection of four movies that make no sense together, but at whatever time we decided to like rent or buy, we decided to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so it's Step Brothers, what else?
This will be bonus content on our Patreon.
Ooh, okay.
Wait, actually, maybe.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah.
That's really funny.
One of them, Interview with the Vampire Man. Don't you watch that every year?
Oh, wait, actually, I do think it might be Interview with the Vampire.
incredible.
All right. I'm assuming that we all have a lot of nuggets. I will try not to. I'll say a few and then we can go, you know, we'll go around. The things that I thought were, so let's just talk about Patrick Thomas for a second. This is well-worn territory. Other people have talked about this movie. It's really fucked on multiple levels.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth is correct that he should not have put her in that position. But also, he has three other children. Not that we see Sam or Charlie, which I think is another disappointing thing about the movie. I think they would have called Charlie, not Luca. So I don't know if they've just erased them. But
right. They definitely would have called Charlie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe they've erased them. Maybe there's only David Michael and Karen and Andrew.
I don't remember her talking about her brothers.
Yeah. I don't think she did at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think there's David Michael, Karen Andrew, and Emily Michelle. So, which is interesting to rewrite Christy as an oldest daughter instead of one girl among three boys, because I feel like it's a different dynamic. Like, yeah. So I guess it makes slightly more sense if the older boys don't exist that he would just talk to Christy and not David Michael because he's a little kid. And
It's a little sketchier.
It's still fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's only 12 in this. Like, she's turning 13. That they say that at the beginning.
Right.
Says you're almost 13. So not that it would be better if she was 13, but it's just really messed up. And it seemed, I think it was well written though. Like, I think this is maybe one of the only things that would get Christy to be dishonest and sneak around and stuff.
Yeah.
So I do think that made sense and she was appropriately stuck.
Yeah, I felt like the scene where she yells at him is really true to her character, too, where she's like, you're making me lie and I don't like this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never lie to anybody. And I started all because you came here. Yeah, totally. So I thought it was really well rendered. And I did cry. Like, I think Skylar Fisk is great. I think she's a good actress. And I think her portrayal got to me. So those were the only things that I cried at is like her, the dad stuff and her like. Then coming back to Watson and mom. The parents in this were weird, though, outside. I think her dad was a good actor, but, like, her mom's kind of weird. Stacy's mom is really weird.
Stacy's mom is very weird.
I'm like, where did they get the adults to be in this movie? I don't understand. Like, other than Ellen Burstyn as Mrs. Haberman, like, she's fine. But the other parents are bizarre.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I felt really sad. You know, people talk about the Luca situation and obviously it's kind of gross. I don't think we thought it was gross in 1995. Like, I don't remember other than at the very end is the grossest part when he says he's coming back and she says, I'll be 14 as if that's way older. And he says, I know. In this like very.
And I'll be 18.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it'll officially be illegal.
Yeah. But maybe not in Germany. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not, honestly.
So, yeah.
I feel like when I was in high school, there were a lot of senior freshman relationships, like a lot. I don't know if that's still a thing that the kids do, but.
At least around here, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've told you about the little saying, right? If the grades touch, you can touch.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a lot of other things that are not necessarily at my corner, like in my corner, but just things that jumped out at me. One thing pertinent to your comment, Emily, about how them getting pissy was true to the books. I laughed out loud when they have one of their little snits at the camp. And then Mallory says, we never fight. And
I was like, lie.
All you do is fight.
That's so funny.
That's central to the whole concept of the books. So you guys have little fights all the time, which is appropriate, which is like good for friendships. But I thought it was just such a weird, like, why did they even put that line in there? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do some nuggety things and we can bop around. I didn't have any super like my territory nuggets, just like some funny observations. I thought it was hilarious that Practical Mal wants to read the contract that Marianne's dad gives them before they sign it.
Yes.
Made me laugh a lot. And also, I really wanted to know what was in the contract. And what the terms of the contract were. Like, what happens if they violate it? Mm-hmm. Like, Richard's going to fine them? Or, have to do community service? Like, what does the contract say? I, like, really, really wanted to know.
I know. Me too.
I know that the other cultural touchstone for Dawn is 10 Things I Hate About You. But I was like, I never think this when I watch 10 Things I Hate About You. But when I watched this movie, I was like, oh, of course Dawn is Alex Mack.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch Alex Mack at all? I loved that show.
Yeah.
Like, just so good. I love that, like, the first thing we learn about, or like the thing that's like embarrasses Stacey first in front of Luca, is how much she loves Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That was on point for sure.
Also, like, what is a teen club in New York City? Like, that's not a real thing, is it?
I mean, I don't know. They used to have them in San Francisco and LA for sure.
I think they had them in LA. It's not like, but it's like underage parties you can go to.
Yeah.
That don't serve alcohol, you know.
Interesting. Sort of, but so was it a real teen club, or was she lying to her dad and said it was a teen club? Because then the guy at the door is like, where's your ID?
Because they had to be 16.
Oh, okay. Club. Okay.
So what's the, is it like 16 through 19 to, or 16 yeah. through, what's the deal?
Yeah. I guess 16 to 20 if the drinking age is 21. Ugh, but that's weird.
That's weird. So you have like 16-year-olds and 20-year-olds? That's like a huge age gap.
That's like 13 and 17 almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to know. Maybe I should have done a little research, but I was like, what the fuck is a teen club?
Yeah. No, they do exist. Or like oftentimes they'll be like one night.
Yeah.
Like remember Pop Scene, Anne? There was an all ages like Brit Pop mm-hmm. night at a club that's normally a normal club that you have to be 21. But at the night of Pop Scene, you could be any age.
Interesting.
So it's like
an all ages concert.
Yeah, an all ages dance night. Like it's like DJs, but not DJs like DJs. Like DJs just
I know what a DJ is.
No, but you know what I mean. Like now, I feel like you go to see the DJ do their thing. And it was just like a party.
No, but
DJ.
Like DJs do parties too, like a theme or whatever. Yeah, right. A genre.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not about the film, but I was like, I know we already texted about this, but I was like really sort of shocked when I was looking up some of the actors and where they are now to learn that the actor that played Luca is dead. He was only 50 and he died last year in a plane crash in the Caribbean, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Just like, wow, what a tragic end for our movie's hero, you know?
Yeah.
That is really sad. I remember that was in the news. That was very sad.
Yeah.
It is really sad. And I felt sad while we were watching. And I was like, I remember I used to think Luca was a little gross. I wrote down, but now it's just sad.
Yeah. Like, but also he looks so young. He doesn't look gross. Like he and the actress who plays Stacey look close enough in age that it doesn't feel predatory.
Yeah.
In the context of the movie itself. So I felt like that was a little bit of a saving grace there.
For sure. And I do think, you know, it's interesting. I didn't look up how old all the actresses were, but I think one of the things we really loved about the next Netflix show is that they were all clearly like 12, 13.
Yeah.
I think Mal and Jesse look 11.
Yeah.
But everybody else looks wildly different ages.
I mean, but they all look young. They look so young.
Yeah.
Okay, so which is the little babysitting charge that always has the weird one-liners? Is that supposed to be Karen?
Oh, no. I think that was Buddy and Susie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That is not like how I picture Susie in the books or Karen, really. But like everything she said made me die.
Yeah.
And I have like all these weird sense memories of those lines.
Yeah. What were some of your favorites?
Well, I really like when she just whispers, "I've been to the moon" at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about Alan Gray?
Yes, please. I have lots of thoughts.
What did they do to his character? I just picture him as like an annoying, regular 13-year-old boy in the books.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they were going for, like some sort of like borderline idiot savant thing or like like what?
Okay. I mean, I have some thoughts about what they were going for. I'm interested in Anne's writerly thoughts before we get to my psychologist thoughts. What are your thoughts on Alan Gray, Anne?
My writerly thoughts?
Yeah.
First, it's like interesting that he was into Dawn because it was supposed to always be Christy, right? Wasn't he?
In the beginning, but then Christy gets Bart later.
Yeah. It seems like he's kind of moved on from Christy by this point.
Right. And I do wonder if they were channeling some sort of mid-90s stereotype of like, because he comes across as being a kind of alternative or like artsy, I feel, just in the way he dresses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I could clearly picture him in high school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that kid go to high school. Yeah, the hair, Logan and Alan's hair was perfect for both of them, I thought. Yeah, I think they were trying. Yeah, I think he's like an artsy kid. I do really like the negotiation scene where Ton's like, Christy, he's a dweeb. And Christy's like, he's a free dweeb. Like, we got all these kids around here. Like, fine. So I thought that was a good little practical thing. I think they're just trying to like emphasize that he's nervous around Dawn. So he does. And when he's nervous, he does dumb stuff. Like, he tries too hard and he does ridiculous things. And then you see him like, you know, crumple in on, you know, it's like when you do something and then afterwards you're like, I should have done that.
But,
you know,
like when he's like flying around, that was very cringe. I was,
we were upset about that the first time too. You were like, oh my God, what's happening? I mean, like, Anne really doesn't like secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah. No,
that's funny.
Like the director or writers, like, wrote that in, like, they were like, okay, now you're gonna flap around for like a good 17 seconds.
This is my thing. I feel like the adults involved with this movie don't understand kids and teenagers and don't spend time with them outside of making this one movie. Like, that's that's my like, because it was bizarre direction. And like, he's a like likable kid actor. Like, I like when he was just talking normally, I didn't think that he was like terrible. Right. So someone's telling him to do that, like you said, and it doesn't really make any sense. And it's not really how kids, even kids who are being embarrassing, interact with each other. So I do. I think that they gave him some really weird choices.
What's your like psych read on it?
That's the problem, is that it doesn't really
have one.
Line up. Right. Like, I think they're going for social anxiety and they're going for like a boy being nervous talking to a girl that he likes. But then he does like such bizarre things and so quickly, but he's not consistently bizarre. He's not consistently bizarre. You know, it's not like he's, you know, just like a quirky kid in some way where it like they're not coding him for like autism. He doesn't have like specific interests, or he's not like missing social cues. He's like very clear that he's doing a bad job.
Right.
Like, just to, in the way that they would have coded autism in the 90s, like the
right.
And they're not coding him for like, sometimes it seems like psychosis. Like, it seems like he's just like loses contact with reality for a minute, which is not how that would present in a 13-year-old.
Right. Interesting.
So I think it's just bad writing slash directing, like Anne said.
Yeah. Okay. So the actor's name is Aaron Michael Metchik.
Yeah. Is he hot now?
I don't know. But okay, he's 45, and he was born in San Clemente, so maybe Merrick knows
him. Merrick knows him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Text Merrick immediately.
This is my best friend from college who grew up in San Clemente. Okay, hold on. That's Aaron hilarious. Michael Met. How do you spell that last name?
M-E-T-C-H-I-K. Metchik.
Wow. Researchers are on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other thing that it was really funny to me rewatching this movie is that the scene I remember the best is like the horse stables scene, but I feel like I lifted it out of the Babysitter's Club movie in my brain and just like put it in like random teen movie from the 90s. Like, I think I imagined that scene in like a Disney Channel original movie or something like that. But I like
in the beginning, like when they're like riding horses. Yeah.
No. With the Cokie Mason.
Okay.
I think there's like another movie that's like a movie for young teens, not like a proper teen movie, that has another scene that's about like, you know, a mean girl and a nice girl. Like, I think it's like a trope from these kinds of movies.
Yeah, right. I feel like I have some deep-seated memory about that. Same. As well. But
so
I
like, what
know.
Is that trope? It's just like horses signify like class and these like social group insider outsider things are ultimately about class, like who knows how to ride a horse and who doesn't, or like,
I mean, who has the right gear. You would see it, but I didn't know if they weren't because they didn't make any kind of class things here. I just
not at all. And like,
it we're in Connecticut.
Right. And like, even Christy, like Watson's house doesn't seem to be really that much bigger than everyone's. Like, it's not a mansion. Right. Maybe that's why they got rid of Charlie and Sam.
Right. No room at the end. Yeah. It was funny because watching it. So I had watched this once when my kids were younger, probably like 5 or 10 years ago. And then June and I watched it last night. June just turned 15. And she was like, what is going on with these horses? Like, she was very like shocked and confused that there was a scene in a stable. And I was just like, oh, I mean, they're just like at the stable. Like, it seemed normal to me.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Did you hang out at the stables in middle school?
No,
me neither. And we grew up in the Central Valley, which is like where there are farms, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I had like classmates who were into horses and had horses and stuff.
Emily, did you catch what Luca said when Stacy gives him the American flag that she brought?
Yeah, that's Rosie's what I'm going to propose as a title.
Yeah.
For Weird Lights.
Okay, but we still talk about it because especially if we think he's German, that's even more interesting. So,
yeah, so Stacy gives him. Stacy thinks that Rosie Wilder. Rosie Wilder. Rosie Wilder's cousin is a little cousin, and she brings a small from Europe.
Yeah,
just Europe, the continent. And so she brings him a little American flag as like a present, and he's like, "Oh wow, so nationalistic."
Yeah. Very nationalistic.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I ever clocked him saying before.
Yeah. I have that burned into my brain. I think it's hysterical.
It's so good.
There, but he says it like nationalistic is a euphemism for cool, like the affect that he uses.
The delivery. Like, yeah, right. Yeah. But he doesn't, but I think it's a very subtle delivery. Like I really like
the actor
because I don't think he really thinks it's cool.
Right.
And he thinks Stacy's cute and pretty, so he's going to pretend that it's cool, but he can't help label that it's nationalistic. It's multi-layered. No.
What I was saying is that it's as though the word nationalistic means cool. That's the way that he delivers it.
Yes. Yes.
That he thinks nationalism is
cool. Exactly. Yeah. But that's a lot of layers.
I know.
That's, you know, Luca's putting it all on the line for this movie.
Oh, yeah. Very nationalistic.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then I also really, really love when they're all like fixing some snacks in someone's kitchen. I think it's Claudia's, and they're talking about Luca, and Stacy's like, he's been to Europe.
Yeah.
So good. I like that she keeps asking him like questions about having been to Connecticut before, and then she's like, oh, sorry, you've never been here before. Like that, like anyone goes to Connecticut, like.
But I think that's also when she's foggy, right? That's when she's about to have her like sugar crash or lack of sugar crash. Yeah. So what did you guys?
I thought that was rendered pretty well. Like, it's not that she's being irresponsible. It's that like she's flustered with everybody kind of, you know, worrying about her, which I think is a very Stacy thing. And then it ends up doing the thing that everyone's worried about, right? She's like, I'm annoyed with everyone worrying about me. I'm fine. And sort of like sublimating her needs. And then the thing everyone's worried about happens, right?
Yeah.
Like that's early Stacy for sure.
Yeah. It's very early Stacy. And I think it's interesting. I've seen criticisms of the movie where people are like, why wouldn't she tell him she has diabetes? It's super normal. And that's one of the things that I'm like, that's from the books. This is Stacy's journey. Like, just because it's normal to you doesn't mean that Stacy would feel comfortable, especially when she has a crush on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I think it was like in line with Stacy, but maybe people that don't have enough backstory on the BSC, it would seem like it's weird.
Yeah. My last little nugget was just yikes, Mr. Thomas. So,
Yeah, we covered that pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Aaron Michael Metchek, who I do think is cute now. I was watching him. And I was like, I bet he grew up to be cute. But it's very much like my 90s type. So I still no word from Merrick. I'll let you know if anything comes in on the wire while we're recording here. But Anne, you want to do a couple nugs?
Yeah, I have a lot of nugs. Okay. Let me look at my list here. Okay. Don is eating a bowl of sunflower seeds.
Like a whole bowl. Don's bowl of seeds.
Like, What?
So good. Like, they're at the burger place.
Yeah.
And then Dawn's like just eating a bowl of seeds.
I was like, if she eats all those seeds, she's going to get diarrhea. That's what I was thinking. That's a lot of seeds. Okay. The dress Christie's dad gets her is the ugliest dress. It's like,
oh my God.
What the hell? Where did he find that dress?
I mean, it is pretty 90s children's dress. I think it's also like it's a marker that he hasn't been involved in her life, that he doesn't realize she's turning 13 and like what that means. Right. Because it's like on an 8-year-old, that wouldn't be the worst dress in the world.
It's just like really big and like weird. I don't know. That was really sad when she like wore it just like over like her regular clothes.
Yes.
Marianne and Christie are playing Clue. In the scene, which was cute.
Yeah.
I have written down Dawn is so annoying.
Yeah.
So when they're like when Luca finds out Stacy is 13, he's like, 13.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. And then the taxi driver said, I got engaged to my husband when I was 13. Yeah. You guys catch that?
Yeah.
It's like, wait. Yikes, what? Yikes, yikes. I'm picturing this like woman auditioning for this taxi driver role, and that's like
her one line. Yeah.
It's like so funny.
And was that I feel like she was like ambiguously ethnic. That's supposed to be sort of racist, right? Like, is she supposed to be like from Eastern Europe or something? I'm like, why are you having her say that? That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Very
that was a little bit like in my village.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. In my village. Totally. Yes. She's from Meepos. Yeah.
Okay. Luca is playing the harmonica outside of Stacy's house, like the blues. I was like, wow, Luca.
Okay. And her mom is like, sounds pretty good.
So weird.
Yeah.
Her mom seems like she's like on pills or something.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like really loopy and Okay.
Okay. So when the movie first started, I was like, this looks familiar, just like the scenery. So I looked up where the shooting locations was, and Watson's house wasn't Altadena. At the address is 1090 Rubio Street. And it's like a famous house that's been used in a lot of like movies and TV shows, but it has since burned down in the
year. Oh my God. Damn. We can't even watch the Babysitter's Club movie without you being reminded of your 2025 trauma. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. But Watson also lost his house.
Yeah, so that's true.
It makes me feel a little bit better.
If it can happen to Watson.
It can happen to anyone.
You recognize it?
No, it just something about like what happened is in the beginning when they're like the montage scene of them like eating and like just doing stuff and like in cafes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just like the street reminded me of like this town near Altadena called Montrose and La Cañada. It just looked like it, like really. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, huh, like was this film like, obviously it was filmed in and around LA, I felt. Mm-hmm. So then I looked it up and then I was like, oh, it's filmed in Altadena.
That's
a lot
so
of that,
funny.
All of the house,
yeah,
like the housing. So Cokie tries to persuade Logan to hang out with her by going to a Smashing Pumpkins show, Fifth Row Center.
Yeah.
So you, me, and Smashing Pumpkins. Which is, you know, in 1995 is when Melancholy came out. So it was a hot ticket.
It was a hot ticket.
Yeah.
But do we think that Cokie likes Smashing Pumpkins, or we think that Cokie's just clocking that Logan would like Smashing Pumpkins?
I mean, so I did a little, I'm not a huge Smashing Pumpkins fan at all, but Melancholy was like all those songs that were big, like Tonight Tonight. And like those were like their top 40 crossover hits.
That's true. Mm. That's true.
So like that kind of like catapulted them into like mainstream. So like it would make sense that
she would.
We're not talking about like Gish or Siamese Dream here. This is like the big like full. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like 1979 and all those things.
Yeah.
And then I read that article on New York Magazine Vulture where they like the cast and the director all gets together for the 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Was it 20th or was it the 10th?
It might be the 25th. Oh, was it? It was a while ago now. It wasn't. I thought it was maybe the 25th.
But it's when they like got they went to Nighthawk or was it no Alamo or Nighthawk, I think, in Brooklyn. And they all like there was like a special showing of the movie.
Yeah.
But I guess Larissa kept on shouting Christie's dad is hot at the screen because they were all talking about an article how like Peter Horton's so hot.
Yeah.
Like all the girls apparently had a crush on him.
Oh, my God.
When they filmed it?
Yeah.
He just looks like a 90s dad.
I don't know.
Do you guys think he's hot now?
I mean, in the movie?
None of the guys in the movie really did it for me.
No.
Logan was really blah. Like, yeah.
Logan was dorky.
That kid, what else is Logan in? That kid's been in other stuff, right?
Austin O'Brien. Let's see. He's been in an episode of Bones.
Oh. Okay. I definitely saw it.
He was in Touched by an Angel.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
He's been in stuff, but not very much.
I just recognize him as Logan.
Right. But I thought I'd go through the cast really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So Skylar Fisk, first role on like film, Sissy Spacek's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So come from acting family. Brie Blair as Stacey McGill also was her first role. Rachel Lee Cook as Marianne, also her first role. Zelda as Jesse Ramsey. She was in Crooklyn.
Yes.
A Spike Lee film.
Mm-hmm.
Trisha Joe was her first role and then basically disappeared and gave up acting after. Yeah. Like, pretty
I thought
quickly.
She was pretty good. Like,
yeah, she was good.
Especially compared to the HBO Claudia. Like, I liked her a lot. I think, and I especially appreciated her and Christie's. I thought her and Christie's interactions were very true to book Claudia and Christie. Like, you can see their like long-term friendship and their frustration with each other. It was very good.
Oh, sorry. You just, something happened and everyone froze.
Oh, sorry. Is it okay now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Larissa Olenek as Dawn. She was probably the most famous person from Alex Mack. She auditioned for three roles.
Oh.
I think it was Stacey, Christy, and Dawn.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think she's appropriate as Dawn. I don't think
right. And she wanted to play Dawn.
Yeah.
Stacey Lynn Ramsauer as Mallory Pike.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the Vulture article, she talks about being mortified that she had to wear like suspenders and stuff. Like she didn't like her outfits.
Mm-hmm.
But all the costume designers were like, you have the coolest outfits. And she was like, I don't want to wear suspenders.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then before they started filming, they had all the girls spend an entire week together to just hang out and like get to know each other. And apparently they like all really bonded.
Yeah.
And there's like cute. Let me see. There's a cute. Let's see, like a Brie Blair Baxt. Who was it? Oh, shoot. Baxt. I think it was Rachel Lee Cook. Being like, hey, like it says, yeah, Rachel, I'm not sure about your time difference. I'm in Minnesota, so hope you don't get this too late. Anyways, since none of us know each other, I thought I'd send you this fax.
Hilarious.
I'm looking forward to meeting you on Monday. Hope it's fun. See you soon. And it's like my faxes, and it gives like her fax number.
That's really funny.
But I thought that was just like, oh man, the fax. Yeah. It's just like, and it's like her handwriting on a piece of binder paper. It was just like really cute.
That's very cute.
Yeah. But another funny nugget is Kevin Costner's kids were like extras.
Oh, some of the babysitting kids?
There were some of the babysitting kids, so he was on set a lot.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the kids, I feel like, were really uneven. Like, some of the kids were really good, and some of the kids were, like, barely acting.
Yeah.
Oh, and also the trailer for the movie features Cornflake Girl, Better Than Ezra, Good, and Dreams by the Cranberries.
Wow. What?
Which do not feature on the soundtrack or the movie.
They sure don't.
But if you watch the trailer, it's like it makes it like seem so much better than it
That's
is.
Funny.
The song choices. Yeah. I'll send you guys the link.
Can we talk a little bit more about the music in the film and the like on the nose music cues? Because it was very, I feel like that's part of what made the film worse than it could have been, was the music supervision was like abysmal.
I loved it. I thought it was perfect. No notes. Unhinged.
Unhinged.
Well, I mean, the ooh la 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 hey, like what? Like that?
Yeah, the fake Aiko Aiko song.
Yeah.
Girlfriend, I believe is the name of the song. And then they use it like 3 times. Like it comes back around multiple times. I have more of a problem with the fact that every time Koki shows up, there's that line that goes, "Let's get busy." Like then when she walks in or walks out.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And then
I appreciate that more because like they don't do that sort of thing anymore.
Yeah. Right. But it's like so on the nose.
Yeah. It's on the nose.
And then did you guys catch the music when Christie's like starting to get scared when it starts storming at Monty's the amusement park?
Mm-mm.
It's like a piano song that literally has the lines, "I want to be daddy's girl," like in a melancholy way. She's looking for her dad.
Wow, that's amazing.
I have to give some credit.
Did that was a genius.
Well, because think about this. This is like nascent internet. They had to like come up with these ideas. It's not like when you post on your Instagram story and you can just search by the word you want. Like this is somebody had to dive into the stacks to find these things.
I think it's amazing. I think they did a really good job and they should have won some sort of award for the
Daddy's Girl was written by Lisa Harlow Stark. Let's see.
Sure.
What's going on with her these days? She's an award-winning songwriter.
Wow. Did she win an award for this song?
Yeah, she did. I think
what?
She won. No, I'm kidding.
All right, what else you got, Anne?
Oh, so I know what movies I own.
Nope.
Yes. Okay.
Let's just
say. It's a very random assortment. So it is Interview with a Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
It is Step Brothers.
Yes, very good.
I have The Martian, which I think was a mistake. I think I bought it on accident when I was like trying to download a movie on a plane or something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is Rumble in the Bronx.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. What a great collection.
That is fabulous.
Yeah.
It's good to own things.
Yeah, so these are the movies we have now after our house burned down since all of our physical media has been destroyed.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, I know.
All right. 2 other things that I noticed that I really liked. I liked the painting of a Jif peanut butter jar in Claudia's bedroom.
Mm.
Did you guys see? It was like a wide gold background and then just a Jif jar in the middle of it, which was sort of perfect. And I also wondered if Jif sponsored it or if that was just Claudia's art. If it was actual SponCon or not.
Yeah. I was more of a Skippy girl.
Yeah. Me too. But wait, I thought it was still good.
Wait, is it Skippy or is
it
not? Oh, no, wait. Okay.
We've had this conversation 100 times, Emily.
I know.
This is hilarious.
Because I used to call it Jiffy.
Yes.
And I would like combine them.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Jiffski.
So, Emily, did you get infuriated when Koki and her minions were vandalizing the greenhouse because of what they said?
What did they say?
They got stuck in something, but they named it inaccurately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
not
I blocked
wet
it out.
Cement.
Not wet cement. No. Yeah, that whole scene is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of destruction for 3 people to carry out. I was like, I just don't believe they'd have the follow through.
I don't know. They really hate them.
You know, well, except her minions don't.
Yeah.
They're like, they kind of think they're cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is interesting because we'll see. Well, I think that probably that comes about at some point, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. So generally we enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think it's like the best movie that's ever been made.
I think Emily and I enjoyed it more than you.
No, I did enjoy it. And I like I said, there were it was much better than I thought it was. I think you're right. It's like very much 17-year-old lens. But I think there was also a lot of hope. Like the HBO one really made us mad because mm-hmm. we were also younger when it came out. And we were like, come on, this would like it would have been cool to do a good thing. And so I think there were a lot of hopes on this. And
I think also watching it so much later, like not just being older, but like the movie feels so young. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a little baby movie, you know, baby movie. And they're all little babies in it, which feels appropriate for BSC.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
There was some.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, because I was going to get in Claudia's candy, but you're still talking about.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's interesting if it came out today, I wonder if it would do better because it was sort of critically panned. And I think like people didn't want to make it because they didn't want to make things for young girls. But I feel like that market is a little bigger now. And
yeah, well, it wouldn't be what it is if it came out now. Yeah,
that's true. It would be more like the Netflix show.
They'd be like all way hotter.
No. Hopefully they'd just be kids.
Yeah, they'd be kids.
Yeah.
But they'd be like wiser.
Mm-hmm.
Their fights would be more nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like how like two note it is.
Yeah.
I want more two note in my life.
That's true. Especially nowadays. Let's downshift a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. So there's Candy. There's Candy in Claudia's room. Claudia's room's cute too. They did a good job in Claudia's room.
It is very cute. Okay, so I had a pause in this one scene when she was eating junk food. But okay, so she's eating powdered donuts.
Nice.
Like the Hostess kind.
Yeah, classic.
Classic. I like those still.
Yeah.
Even though they're bad.
They're bad, but
A Crunch Bar.
Mm-hmm.
I spied Ding Dongs.
Nice.
A Three Musketeers wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
And licorice.
Licorice on the nightstand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Dawn has her bowl of seeds and then a random little cup of tahini later.
Yeah. Yeah. She also eats a tricolore salad at the pizza party.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
So funny.
Yeah. So tallies wise, they do not describe each other in any of the ways, but I had a few social justice things. One was the kids are dressed as cowboys and Indians on Cowboy Day, which is not fabulous. They don't hang a big lantern on it, but there are some, I'm sure, not accurate Indigenous headdresses being displayed. The other one, June clocked, is that Matt Braddock's there and he's signing. And then June was like, do you think that's actually played by a deaf kid? And I was like, oh, I hope so. She's like, yeah, because he's like talking like a deaf kid. So if it's not played by a deaf kid, that's pretty messed up. And I was like, yeah, that's true. So I'm curious. He's only in like one scene and he's like signing frantically to Christy, but he's also like making some vocalizations like some people do. And so I was just, you know, hopefully it is a deaf kid and hopefully it's just great representation. But in 1995, that seems less likely to me.
Mm-hmm.
Seems very more likely that it's a hearing kid pretending to be deaf. And then just other, because there's no actual descriptions, just a couple other little things I clocked that I liked was the Mary Poppins thing that were book true, is that you see Claude handing out flyers for the camp at the radio station and like shaking hands with the station manager. I was like, oh, okay, you looked at some recent books. Someone looked at some recent books that just came out, which I thought was cool. And then the town sign. Did you guys catch what the Stony Brook motto is on the town sign? It's so basic. It just says Stony Brook, : a great place to live.
That's really funny.
Which I thought was really funny.
I like that. That's good.
Those are my tallies. What weirdest lines do you guys have?
Well, I think it should be very nationalistic.
Yeah, that's like literally the only line I wrote down.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I think there's some other ones, but we can go with that one. Did you write anything else down, Em?
I wrote down, I've been to the moon. I think that's all I wrote down.
Yeah.
But she has a lot of good lines.
Yeah, she does.
That kid.
It was, you know what? The movie was so good that it was hard to take notes.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. So the one that I wrote down, which you and I used to say to each other all the time. And I don't know if you remembered this, but we used to make fun of it complete all the time because of Larissa Olenek's performance of Dawn, is I think butterflies are magic.
Oh, yeah.
When she's like, we used to say it.
It's so bad. Like, why would you write that?
So sincerely, like, who? Why did you do that to her? Larissa Olenek's a pretty good actress. Like, why did? Like, why?
That's funny.
Yeah. So that's the main one I wrote down, and I like spit out my water when she said it because I, similar to you, Emily, I had forgotten that I knew it, and we used to say it all the time.
That's so funny.
But that's how she wins over Mrs. Haberman somehow. Mm-hmm. What does she say? She says, "Dawn, you're almost delightful."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Almost.
I mean, why do you think butterflies are magical, Dawn? Is it because they're just like pretty? Is it because they like come out of, you know, they're like the whole
cocoon?
The cocoon thing. Mm-hmm.
Dawn's really connected to spirit. I don't know.
Metamorphosis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So magical.
Yeah. Magical.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys want to go with very nationalistic?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. I think we have to.
Okay.
What about pizza toast?
Ooh, these are silly. But we could do a better one. I think Watson's pretty good in this. Maybe that's a sincere one. I like in the beginning when there's the little montage where Christie's describing everybody and we see Mallory writing at the cafe and like an elder Mallory brings her like an iced coffee or something. Did you clock that? Like the waitress looks like Mallory but older.
I forgot to mention that all of Mal's lines about like needing to go finish her novel were really funny to me. Yeah. Maybe we could pizza toast to Mallory finishing her novel.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I remembered the other thing that made me really mad when we watched it for the first time was in the very first scene. Mrs. Radowski calls and then Christy says, "Hold on a second," and just like covers the phone and asks who's available. And we were like, that's not how they do it. They call back.
It's true. They do call back. Well, Esme, it's like, I know no memory of this in here.
Well,
I do remember the butterflies are magic.
I knew you would remember that.
Yeah.
I think butterflies are magic. We used to quote that about as much as we would quote The Craft when we were trying to get through red lights. No. Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Same year.
Okay.
Okay. So Mallory and her novel. Is that what we want a pizza toast to?
Okay. To Mallory's novel.
To Mallory's novel. This episode of Stuck in Stony Brook is now adjourned.
Thank you to Anna and Martin for everything. Stuck in Stony Brook is edited by Emily Crandall. Theme song written and recorded by Gary Schaller, performed by the band Kid Kit. You can follow us on Instagram at Stuck in Stony Brook or find us on our website, stuckinstonybrook.com. Need some books that we mentioned? Buy them from our bookshop and support both a local independent bookstore and your favorite series literature analysis podcast. Find us at bookshop.org/shop/Stuck in Stony Brook. Lastly, if you're feeling dibbly generous and you want to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, that would be super helpful. You're the best friends a girl could ask for.